All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin a good chodesh. Today's daf is Samech Aleph 61. We are picking up on Samech Amud Beis of the last line. Uma Rois. So the Gemara says as follows. Actually, do we leave off a little bit above that? All right, we'll start at Ma Rois. Last line, Samech Amud Beis 60b. Uma Rois, the rabbos shamanachos, ulahotzi minchas nesochim. Says the Gemara, ultimately, why is it? What is it that we go ahead and we... Why is it that we go ahead and our marbe shamanachos for hagasha purposes, ulohotzi minchas nesochim, and ultimately, again, exclude minchas nesochim from the obligation of Hagasha. Remember again, just reorient ourselves, talking about the obligation to bring the entire mincha in the kli, close to the mizbeach. This is prior to the kemitza, the avoda known as Hagasha. So why is it that we go ahead and we see to be mar b'shar menachos for Hagasha, and to exclude minchas nesochim, top of Samech Aleph, mar b'ani shar menachos sheba'os biglal atzman, Umotzaani minchas nesachim she'ina ba'a biglal atzma. To which the Gemara answers, I will say, I'll tell you why. Because halacha lemaisa, I would go ahead and include other menachos which come on their own. Sheba'os biglal atzma, I will say, means that they are self-contained, independent karbanos, as opposed to minchas nesachim, which is never brought on its own, but is rather only brought as an accompaniment to something else. She'ina ba'a biglal atzma. I have halo minchas kohanim uminchas koin mashiach ba'us biglal atzman. But the halacha is that minchas kohanim, minchas koin mashiach. Remember again, minchas kohanim represents the minchas chavitin that a kohen brings on the day of his kohanic inauguration. The minchas koin mashiach is the minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol that he brings every single day. Yet those menachos, ba'us atzman, they come on their own. In other words, they're not an accompaniment to anything else. Rather, they come on their own. Yachol yuhu tu'unos hagasha. I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, they should require hagashas. I suppose, remember again, what ends up happening every single time is every time we try to define a principle and we try to use that as the principle which governs the hagasha obligation, it opens up problems by other cases. So, for example, if you're going to tell me now that what makes a mincha subject to hagasha is the idea that it's ba'os atzma, or ba'a atzma, that it comes on its own, it's not tethered to another carbon. So the problem is, then you should have to do Hagasha by Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Koy Mashiach. Yet we know already based on yesterday's daf that indeed that is not the halacha. There is no din of Hagasha, ultimately again by the Minchas Kohen and the Minchas Koin Mashiach. Talmud Lomar Vehigisha. Therefore, also the pasuk says, "V'higisha, you shall bring it near," which indicates to us that there are certain things which are brought near and other things which are not. Therefore, that comes to exclude ultimately minchas koy mashiach and minchas kohanim. I v'haimi boyle legufa shetuna gaja. Rabbi will say, you can't darshan anything from the word "V'higisha," because I need that word to teach me the ikar obligation of Hagasha. In other words, that word teaches me that there's such a concept ultimately of bringing the carbon to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach prior to the Kemitza, to which the Gemara says, min vihigish vihigisha. So I'll say the Pasuk could have just said vihigish, a shorter form. The fact that it goes ahead and says vihigisha, a longer form, does two things. Number one, teaches me halacha lemaisa, the concept of Hagasha. And number two, also excludes certain items from that very same obligation. Umar is the rabbos shamanachos ulahotzi minchas kohanim uminchas koy mashiach. So we'll say, so why is it that you go ahead and include other minachos in the hagasha obligation, yet you exclude minchas kohanim and minchas koy mashiach? To which the Gemara says, mar ba'ani shamanachos sheyesh mehen liishin. The Ishim, excuse me, Uba'os Biglal Atzman, the Yeshim, so the Gemara says like this, I will include other menachos, and I'll tell you why. Because other menachos share the following characteristics. Sheyesh mehem l'ishim, there are those among them that ultimately are offered up on the fire, that are consumed in the Mizbeach, Uba'os Biglal Atzman, and ultimately, again, they come on their own. In other words, they're not tethered to another carbon. The Yesh mehem the Kohanim, and some are given to the Kohanim. Umotzi ani shtehalechem v'lechem apanim She'in mehem li'ishim. And I will exclude ultimately again the shtei halechem and the lechem aponim, which have no part of them burned on the mizbeach. U'minchas nesachim. And I'll exclude minchas nesachim. Why? She'in ba'a biglal atzma. That ultimately again is not brought of its own volition, but rather is tethered to another carbon. U'minchas kohanim. U'minchas kohen mashiach. She'in mehem l'kohanim. And I will say, I will exclude the minchas kohanim, minchas mashiach. Why? Because there is no portion of those karbanos which is consumed by the kohanim. So we'll say, so what's interesting over here is, now the Gemara just introduced kind of a three-pronged approach to understanding what is included ultimately in the obligation of Hagash and what's not. So the Gemara seems to indicate that halacha lemaisa, if it has a portion that is burned on the fire, if it's ba'a biglal atzma, it comes on its own, and it has a portion which is given to the kohanim, that ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa, that will generate a hagasha obligation. Anything that doesn't satisfy those criteria, ultimately, again, does not have a hagasha obligation. Ve'irim, so we'll say, the pasuk says, you shall lift it up. Remember, this actually says, you shall lift up the komets. To the Gemara says, Yachol Bekli, I might have thought, here's actually very interesting, I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, maybe we're switching gears for just a moment, now not talking about hagasha, but talking about kamitza. I would have thought maybe kamitza can be done with a kli, with a utensil. Talmud lomar, veheirim mimeno bekumso. Therefore also the pasuk says, the kohen shall lift it up with his komets. Just like in this context, in the pasuk being quoted over here, so the harama of the komet is being done with the kohen's hand. So as we'll say in the second context, where harama is being mentioned as well, or komet is being mentioned as well, halacha lemaisa is being done with the kohen's hand. Good. And we'll say that is how the sugya ultimately ends. So what's interesting to note about this is it doesn't appear that the Gemara ends off with a solid set of criteria, ultimately, again, for what's subject to komets and what's subject and what's not. But it does appear that, in general, menachos of osai, have a part of them that is offered up on the mizbeach. Ba'os bifnei atzman, they come on their own without being tethered to another karban. There is a portion that is consumed by the kohen. And one more piece, which is they're subject to the laws of kamitza. That generally seems to be the criteria, ultimately, that would generate a Hagasha obligation. Good. Says the Mishnah. We'll say now we're switching gears from Hagasha to Tenufa. So we'll say Tenufa is the waving obligation, literally a waving of the karban. It's not just Mincha, it's other things that are such as the Tenufa as well. Elu Teunos Tenufa, Ve'in Teunos Hagasha. We'll say there are certain things which are subject to the waving requirement to Tenufa, that are not subject to Hagasha, to the bringing near requirement. What are they? Lug shemesh shamatzor v'ashamo. We'll say the lug of oil. Lug is a measurement, right? The lug of oil of the matzora and the matzora's asham. So remember again, the lug of the oil itself is never offered up on the mizbeach. The oil itself is put on the matzora. So the lug of shemen of the matzora and the asham are both subject to the laws of tenufa, but there is no obligation of hagasha. So the Gemara says, the habikurim k'div Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that there is an obligation of tenufa by bikurim, even though there is no obligation of hagasha. Again, we'll discuss that in greater depth. The imure shame yachid, and the limbs, an individual shlamim, the sacrificial parts of an individual, of a shlam of an individual, v'chazei v'shok shalahen, and the chest and the thigh of an individual shlamim, echad anoshim v'echad noshim, this is true whether it's men, women, b'yisrael v'lo b'achirim, but dafka Jews and not others. Again, we'll talk about that phrase in the Gemara. Shtei halechem v'shtei kivsei atzeres ketzad. So we'll say, what do you do with the shtei halechem and the kivsei atzeres? So the Gemara says, "Who os ketzad osa?" What do you do? No sin. So also, what the Gemara is asking over here is essentially, what is the tenufa obligation by shtei halechem and kivsei atzeres? What is the ketzad osa? No sin shtei halechem agabe shnei kivsei atzeres. That's very interesting. You take the two loaves, you put it on top of the two sheep, Umeniach shtei yadav lemata. Bless you. And then you go ahead, bless you. You go ahead and you place your two hands underneath the two sheep. So we'll say, so can you imagine this scene? You're taking the two loaves, putting it on top of the two sheep, putting your hands underneath the sheep. Umeniach shtei yadav lemata. Essentially, you're lifting up the sheep, then with the loaves on top of it. We'll say these are young sheep. Don't get worried. These are right. These are benchmark. These are less than 1 year old sheep. So the Gemara says, "Agabi shnei kavasim umaniach shtei yadav lemata umolich umevi maale umorid." Rebbe say, "What do? Molich umevi, which literally means you extend them forward and backward, maale umorid, up and down." So forward, backward, up and down. Shene emar asher hunaf va'asher hurom. So we'll say, so again, based on the pasuk that says asher hunaf va'asher hurom, it was lifted and it was waved. So the waving apparently refers to the motions back and forth, the lifted representing the motions up and down. That's what they do with the shtei alechem. So the Gemara says, Tenufa ha'isav ha'mizrach. Another interesting detail over here. Tenufa, we'll say, waving was done on the east. I will say, generally, when we speak about these type of directions, it's the east of the Mizbeach. We'll discuss this in greater depth as well. So the Gemara says, so Tenufa was done in the east. Now Rashi points out over here something very interesting. If you look at Rashi, B'Mizrach, it's almost right across from where the Mishnah starts in Rashi. B'Mizrach, Kilomar Afilu B'Mizrach Oshal Mizbeach Yachal Laharif. Rashi says, when we say that Tenufa is done in the east, it doesn't mean it has to be done in the east. It means what? It can even be done in the east. Now, what does that mean? This is actually very interesting. So the Gemara says, remember, we're going to say, the western side of the Mizbeach was the side of the Mizbeach that was closest to the entranceway of the Beis HaMikdash. So it goes without saying that you could go ahead and do whatever sacrificial process you want on the western side of the Mizbeach, right opposite the Heichal. What the Mishnah is explaining over here is that when it comes to Tenufa, you could even do Tenufa in the east. Hagosha has to be done in the west, as we'll see in just a moment. Tenufa can even be done in the east. The Hagosha b'Ma'arav. And ultimately, again, Hagosha, Rabbi Osai, the process ultimately of bringing the Karbonir, that can be done that has to be done in the west. So Tenufa can even be done in the east. Hagosha must be done in the west. Tenufos, kodmos lahagoshos. So we'll say Tenufa is done prior to Hagosha. In other words, we'll say, so if you have a carbon that is subject to both the Tenufa and Hagosha obligations, so Tenufa is done before Hagosha. Rashi says, Tenufos kodmos lahagoshos, tchila meinif. First, you go ahead and you wave it, v'achar kach magisha, and then you bring it near. So remember again that we'll see this in the Gemara, but not every carbon is subject to both Tenufa and Hagasha, but those that are, Tenufa comes before Hagasha. Minchas Omer, Minchas Kinos, Tunos Hagasha Utenufa. So we'll say the Minchas Omer, the Minchas Kinos, remember Minchas Kinos is the Mincha of the Sota, require both Hagasha and Tenufa. Lechem Aponim, Uminchas Nesachim. So we'll say Lechem Aponim, Minchas Nesachim. Ein Tunos lo Hagasha velo Tenufa. They don't require Tenufa or Hagasha. Reb Shimon says something very interesting. Gimel meaning, Tunin Gimel Mitzvos, Shtayim Bichol Achas Vaachas, Ushlishis Ein Bohen. We'll say there are three different types of sacrificial offerings that between the three of them have three different obligations. No one of them has all three requirements. Like a good riddle over here. So what are they? So this will come clear in just a moment. What are they? So the Gemara says, Ushlishis ein bohen, I'm sorry, Shtayim b'chol achas v'achas. There are two elements which apply to each of these items. Ushlishis ein bohen. But no one of these three items has all three elements. All right, what are we talking about? Ve'iduhim, here we go. Zivchei shalmei yochid. So what are we referring to? The karbanos of an individual, the shlamim of an individual, the shlamim of the tzibor, and the asham mitzora. What are the three elements of both say that are contained between them? Zivchei shami yachid. Get ready for this. So an individual shlamim, tunin smicha chayim. So we'll say, so for an individual shlamim, right? The regular shlamim offering for a yachid, the halacha is, you have to do smicha on the animal while it is alive. So remember again, the process of smicha means actively right placing your hands on the head of the animal and actively supporting your weight on the head of the animal. Utnufa, and they also require utnufa shchutin. And if for an individual shlamim, they also require tnufa once the animal has been slaughtered. Ve'in bahen tnufa chayim. But I will say for an individual's shlamim, there is no obligation of tnufa while the animal is alive. Okay, so those are the two elements. Those are the two elements ultimately, again, by Shlama Yachid. Individual shlamim requires smicha and tnufa while the animal has been slaughtered, but not tnufa while the animal is alive. Next, zivchei shamit tzibor, kemino shlamim, tunin tnufa chayim, require tnufa while the animal is alive. V'sha'ushchutin, so require tenufa both when the animal is alive and dead, meaning slaughtered. Ve'ein bahem smicha, but there is no obligation of smicha. Va'ashametzora, an ashametzora, ta'un smicha, utenufa chai, both say the ashametzora will require smicha, and tenufa, the waving of the animal, right, while it is still alive. Ve'ein bo tenufa shachut, but there is no obligation of tenufa once the animal has been slaughtered. So we'll say, see what's happening over here? You have three elements. What are the three elements? Smicha, right? Placement of your hands on the animal before the animal is slaughtered. Tenufa while the animal is alive. Tenufa while the animal is dead. You have three karbanos. Individual shlamim, communal shlamim, and asha metzora. Between the three of them, they possess all three characteristics, but no one of the three possesses all three. Each one of the three only possesses two out of the three characteristics, and no one of them possess the same two. Okay, good. Says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, v'hikriv oso. So I'll say, you know, it's interesting. Also, you begin to develop a real appreciation of the Kohanim, really only actively serve in the Beis Hamikdash 1 week a year. Leaving aside Yamim Tovim, right? Really only 1 week a year. That was the active service. So people wonder, you know, what were they doing the rest of the time? Suppose I meant, what were they doing the rest of the time? So the truth is they were learning. So what's very interesting to note about this is, you get these, come on, really? Right? Sure, everybody's in kolo. It's amazing. Everybody's in kolo. So I say, so what's the pshat? You begin to understand, like, there is an incredible amount of details just associated with service. And remember, again, if you're a Kohen, you have to be up on the details. In other words, can you imagine, I'll say, what happens if a guy shows up to the Beis HaMikdash with his mincha, with his shamit tzibor? It's not the pshat that he shows up to the shamit tzibor. You say, you know what, give me five. I'm just going to, you know, let me run back over here for just a second. I got this written up. You have to know these details cold. Because also remember, again, if you're taking 5 minutes to review the halachas before every single carbon, what's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of angry Israelites. And you do not want angry Israelites, right? Because remember, there's only one Beis HaMikdash for all of Klal Yisrael. They have to move things along. So you begin to see, Rabbi say, the Kohanim not only have to have the information, but they have to have it on their fingertips. The mamish, someone walks in with the karban, they need to know what to do, they need to be able to move. And you begin to see, we only hit like the tip of the iceberg with the details. And this is not even the complicated cases. This is just straightforward sacrificial law. What the halacha is, it's incredible. I'm sorry? No, Rabbanus, you get the check stuff up. You can say, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. You know, that you could do. Tan Rabbanan. So what says the Gemara. V'krivo sol asham. So remember, the pasuk is about, this is talking about the asham mitzora. So the pasuk of asham mitzora says as follows. V'krivo sol asham, ves lo kashemen, v'inif osam tenufa. So we'll say, this is the pasuk by asham mitzora. The asham of the mitzora. So the Gemara says, what do we learn from here? Melamed shetu'unin tenufa ke'echad. So we'll say, what we learn from here is that halacha lemaisa, you have to do the tenufa with the luk shemen and the asham together. So the Kohen takes the luk shemen and the asham, and together does tenufa with both of them. Uminayim shim heinav zeba'atzo v'zeba'atzmo yatzo. And how do we know that if we did tenufa on these items individually, that you're yotzi? So we'll say, ideally, you want to do tenufa on both of them together. But how do I know that halacha l'maaseh, if I did it separately, I'm still yotzi? Tamid lomar v'hikriv osol the asham, vehinif. Because we'll say the pasuk says you should offer it up as an asham, and you'll be mainif. You will go out and wave it. So we'll say, so you see that the carbon and the lukshemen are mentioned separately. So because they're mentioned separately, technically speaking, if you did it independently, it still works. Yachol yomif yachzor yomif. So I might have thought that maybe lechatchila I could even do tenufa on them separately. Talmud lomar tenufa velo tenufos. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says tenufa and not tenufos. So ideally, lechatchila you want to do tenufa on the luk shemen and the asham together, but if you did it independently, halacha lemaisa, it still works. Lifnei Hashem, we'll say, what does it mean that it's supposed to be done lifnei Hashem? The mizrach. This means it has to be done, that means it has to be done in the east. Now we'll say, remember again, let's go back for just a moment. When we say that the asham etzora, the tenufa for the asham etzora was done in the east, so let's remember again, as we saw before, east doesn't have to mean you have to do it in the east. Rather, what does it mean? You can even do it in the east. But one second, when it said before, Lifnei Hashem, we assume that means B'marav in the west, because that's the closest corner of the Mizbeach to the entrance. We have the Heichal. So the Gemara says, Amri hani mili mincha v'ikri chatos. V'chatos tu'una keren v'chatos tu'una yisod v'yisod. But ultimately, again, that's by a mincha. Mincha is also referred to as a chatos. A chatos requires the yisod, the base of the mizbeach, the keren deromis mizrachis lo haya lo yisod. And I will say the problem is the southeast corner does not have a yisod. Therefore, aval hacha lifnei Hashem karina bay. Therefore, again, but I will say by the mincha it has to be done in the east. Excuse me, in the west. But ultimately, again, by the other karbanos, namely by the asham, where ultimately, again, it's not called the chatos, it could even be done in the eastern corner. Good. V'abikurim k'divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So remember again, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that bikurim require tenufa. Require tenufa. So Gemara says, where do you get this from? My Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov shita? What are we referring to over here? Here we go. Desanya, the luck. So remember again, we're talking about whether or not there's a tenufa obligation for bikurim. So the sanya, the lakacha coin, the coin will take it. Limit ala bikurim, shetu'unin tenufa divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So we'll say, when the pasuk says the coin will take it, so this teaches us that what? That bikurim require tenufa. You have to wave the bikurim. These are the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. My time to Rabbi Yaakov, what's his logic? Gamar yad yad mishlamim. He learns the gzeir shav of yad yad from shlamim. Ksiv hacha, the lakacha coin atena miyadecha. But we'll say, it says Rabbi Kurim, that the coin will take the basket from your hands, uksif hasam, and above it says over there by shlamim, yadav tivi'ena, yadav tivi'ena. Ultimately, again, his hands will bring it to the fires of Hashem. Amud beis, makan kohen, af lahalon kohen. Rabbi say, just like by bikurim, it's the kohen who is taking the bikurim, af lahalon, so too, Rabbi say, by the shlamim, the halacha is that it is the kohen who is offering up the shlamim. Okay. That's not the novel part. What's the novel part? Umal lahalon bailin, just like Rabbi say, ultimately over here, by the shlamim, it's offered up by the owners. In other words, the owner has to bring a shlamim. Afkan bailin. So too by bikurim also have to be brought by the owner. So we'll say, so you see what's happening over here? We seem to have, to a certain degree, two, I'll call it contradictory inferences, or limudim. On one hand, we're learning out that the carbon is brought, the carbon, just that by both bikurim and shlamim is brought by the kohen, but you also see an element that both shlamim and bikurim are brought by the owner. So, I don't understand, how do you have both? That is both brought by the kohen and brought by the owner. Ataya says the Gemara. HaKetzad, here we go. Kohen maniach yado, tachas yedei bailim umenif. We'll say, ultimately, again, what happens here? The coin, right? So we'll say, if you can imagine, it's easier to illustrate by bikurim. So ultimately, again, it sounds like the owner of the bikurim, the Yisrael, whoever it is, has his hands underneath the baskets. And literally, again, I'll say, what happens? Coin maniach yado tachas yedei bailim. The coin places his hand underneath the Yisrael's hands, umeinif. And ultimately, again, they wave the basket together. And I'll say, I want to show you something amazing here. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, not yet. So we'll say, Pashat Pshat, we'll see this in Rashi later on. Pashat Pshat, we'll say, it's just as I told it to you. So how is this happening? It's actually quite beautiful. Yisrael's holding his bikurim, and what happens? Coin places his hands underneath the Yisrael's hands, and they wave it together. Quick look, very quick look at Tosis. Koi maniach yado tachas yedei bailim. See Tosis? The Rebbe Maschil's first full Tosfos on the page. One second. Zikut Tosfos requires like a little extra. All right, here we go. Rabbi, listen to this. Lav dafka kamar. Tosfos says, no, don't understand it literally, as we just mentioned, that the coins, that the Yisrael has his hands underneath the basket, and the coin places his hands underneath the Yisrael's hands. Why not? Lav dafka kamar takas yad abaylim mamish. You can't say that it's literally underneath the hands of the owner. De'im kein, get ready. Havya le yad habaylim chatzitza, bein hakli ubein yad hakohen. Both say this is amazing. The halacha is, remember, whenever a kohen does avoda, there can't be any chatzitza between, both say, between anything. Remember again, kohen doesn't wear shoes when he does the avoda. There can't be a chatzitza between his feet and the floor. He can't wear gloves. It's cold outside. He can't wear gloves when he's doing the avoda, because the gloves will be a chatzitza between his hand and the klisharis. So Tosfos says something amazing. It can't be that the Yisrael is ultimately going ahead, that the kohen is putting his hand underneath the Yisrael's hands, because ultimately, again, what's going to happen? That's going to be a chatzitza. That's going to be an interposition or an interruption, ultimately, again, between the kohen's hands and the kli. There are so many midos, maskinan, gabi, baal, chamer, so skip a little bit. Ela habaylim ochzin ba'ogne hakli, va'kohen b'shulav milamata. Rebbe will say, rather, what happens? The Yisrael hands holds on to the handles of the kli. So essentially what it's saying is, the Yisrael holds the side of the kli. Ultimately, again, the kohen puts his hands underneath the kli, and they wave together. V'hainu, tachas yad habaylim. And we'll say, ultimately, again, this is what's called tachas yad habaylim. Yisrael holds the side, kohen holds the bottom. We'll say, here's the problem. The problem is, that's not Pashup Shah in the Gemara, and it's not, ultimately, again, how Rashi learns. So we'll say, so I'll tell you something. So perhaps Avart, it's not a lamdish Avart, but it's a vart. You know, Bosse, when it comes to the laws of chatzitza, there's a concept of min b'mino eino chotzeitz. So, Bosse, you know where this comes up all the time? The halacha is that your shalyad, the bias, is supposed to sit directly on your bicep. What happens if, again, you're putting on your tefillin and your ritzua ends up going underneath the bias? So therefore, the ritzua is underneath the bias, between your arm and the bias. Is that a chatzitza? So if your shirt sleeve gets in there, that's a problem. That's a problem, right? But what happens if your ritzua gets in? So obviously, it's not ideal, but the halacha is, it's not a chatzitza. Why not? Because they're both tefillin. They're both tefillin. So because they're both tefillin, ultimately, again, it doesn't serve as a chatzitza. I will say, there's a din of arvus, of kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh. Am Yisrael is an am echad. Am Yisrael is one people. We're ish echad, lev echad. We're one entity. There's no such thing as one Jew being a chatzitza for someone else. There's no such thing as one Jew getting in my way. There's no such thing as chas v'shalom, you're you and I'm me, and we're two independent entities. We're one entity. So the Yisrael puts his hands there, the Kohen puts his hands there. There's no such thing as the hands of another Jew being a chatzitza for someone else. There's no such thing that if you're going to hold the hands of another Jew, that somehow that's going to go ahead and prevent you from fulfilling your mitzvah, your avodas habore. So again, I don't know if that's the pshat, the pasha pshat in the Gemara, but clearly, again, I'm just pointing out to you a fundamental machlokes here, a fundamental machlokes as to how Tanufa was done. Tosfos is telling us, yad hachas yad is not literal. Yisrael is holding the sides, Kohen's holding the bottom. Pasha pshat in the Gemara, and we'll see as Rashi learns also, is that no, they're putting their hands, and maybe again, at least on the ruchni level, Rabosai. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes, so on Shabbos, when I go around with the Sefer Torah, somebody will say, you know what, I don't want to shake your hand, I'm not feeling well. You know, so I tell you, Klal Gadol is, you'll never get sick by shaking the hand of another Jew. You're never going to get sick from that. The Moshe won't let it happen. You're not going to contract illness in a whole bunch of other ways, right? But ultimately, from showing love and showing achdus to another yid, it's a money back guarantee. I will pick up for your prescription, right? If you go ahead and get sick from shaking the hand of another Jew, not going to happen. So I'll say, because why? Because another Jew is never a chatzitza. Another Jew is never an obstacle. Another Jew is never a barrier. So can't say, okay, good. So let's go back there. Says the Gemara, a lot more to say on that, but we'll go back there. So the Gemara says as follows, V'leiman amik divrei Rabbi Yehuda, So we'll say, so by the way, just so you understand, that's the reconciliation. That's the reconciliation between the psukim. That's why both by Shlomim and Bikurim, ultimately, again, what do we have? Both by Shlomim and Bikurim, Sa'aloch L'mais, we have these two psukim, which indicate that the Yisrael does the tenufa, that the coin does the tenufa, and the answer is, it's both. The answer is it's both. That halacha lemaisa, they're doing it together. So the Gemara says, why don't you also say this reflects the Gemara as well? Say this is not just the position of Elazar ben Yaakov, this is also the position of Rabbi Huda. The sign Rabbi Huda Omer, vehinachto, the pasuk says, you shall place it, zutnufa. Rabbi says, remember again, this is by Bikurim. So when the pasuk says, you shall place it, Rabbi says, what does you shall place it mean? Translation, you shall wave it. Ata Omer zu tenufa. You say this refers to tenufa, eino ela hanocha, or maybe it only refers to anocha, to placement. Kishu Omer v'hinicho areizu anocha. So we'll say the pasuk already says v'hinicho. V'hinicho means you shall place it. If that's the case, hamani makayim v'hinachto. So we'll say, so what does v'hinachto mean? Zu tenufa. So we'll say, so the extra word v'hinachto refers to the idea that there is an obligation of bikurim of tenufa by bikurim. We'll say, I just want to point out. So just understand what's happening over here. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was quoted in the Mishnah as saying that there is a tenufa obligation by Bikurim, waving obligation by Bikurim, which makes it sound like what? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is the only one who holds that way. All the Gemara is saying is that is not true. Rabbi Yehuda also holds that there is a tenufa obligation by Bikurim. If that's the case, then why not quote Rabbi Yehuda as well? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Amareva, hoyelu pasach ba'akas of tchila. So I'll say, listen, this is actually quite beautiful. Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is actually darshaning an earlier part of the pasuk. So because he's darshaning an earlier part of the pasuk, therefore his drasha comes before Rabbi Huda's drasha in the order of the pasuk, therefore he calls Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But I will say then there's a second reason, and this is amazing. So I will say, all in one day, the Gemara says, V'nachar b'Yitzchak Amar, Hoyil v'Rav Gavrei. We'll say to which the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was greater than Rabbi Huda. Now we'll say, now this is actually a very dramatic statement. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is quoted very few times throughout Shas. Rabbi Huda is quoted many more times. Bosei, look at Rashi. The Rav Gavrei, Shuchacham B'Yosef. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was a greater Talmud Chacham. The Kaimalon, Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kav V'Naki. Bosei, this is dramatic. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov spoke very few times. Right? He delivered very few Piskei Halacha. But whatever he, so that's what we'll say, that's kav. Kav means a small measurement, vinaki. But whatever he said was precise and was measured. So we'll say, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was one of those great people who spoke rarely, but whenever he had something to say, it was measured, it was thought out, it was profound, and it was always correct. So Rabbi will say, wherever Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is mentioned in Shas, the halacha almost inevitably follows him. Quoted very few times throughout Gemara. We learn Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Pirkei Avos. But again, so therefore, again, two reasons why the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Number one, he was the greater Talmud Chacham. Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki, and because his drasha is made on an earlier part of the pasuk. Beautiful. Ve'imuri sham yachid. I will say that is indeed how we pass him. By the way, we pass like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that bikurim are subject to the tenufa obligation. So when you come to the Beis Hamikdash, ultimately, again, there is tenufa done with the bikurim. Ve'imuri sham yachid. Chazei b'shok shalom echad anashim ve'echad anashim b'Yisrael ba'lo b'achir. So let's listen to this. Similarly, again, when it comes to the sacrificial limbs, sacrificial parts of an individual's shlamim, the chest and the thigh, both men and women have the obligation. Yisrael avalo b'achir. Now, Bosan, this is actually very interesting. So it applies to Yisrael not achirim. My comment, Bosan, the Gemara understands this to be an inherently contradictory pasuk. Because on one hand, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that the tenufa obligation applies to both men and women. But then it says, Yisrael avalo b'achirim. So Bosan, at first glance, we thought achirim meant who? Meant non-Jews. But in fact, we saw before that ultimately, again, when the Mishnah wants to speak about non-Jews, Gentiles, it used Lashon of Akum, used Lashon of Nochrim. So Achirim, Rabbi Eliezer, very often means women. So on one hand, you're telling me that the obligation of Tenufa applies to women, and then it sounds like you're saying it doesn't. My Kamar, what's going on over here? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Haki Kamar, this is what it means to say. Echad Anoshim ve'echad Noshim Karbanon Ta'um Tenufa. Rabbi Eliezer, both men and women, when they bring a Karban, assuming they're bringing the type of Karban that is subject to Tenufa, it's subject to Tenufa. Utnufa atzma b'Yisrael, avalo b'dei nashim. Rabbi say tenufa itself is only done with men and not done with women. In other words, although there is a technical obligation that may exist for the karbanos of women, but tenufa is only done with men and not done with women. Rashi says over here, now what does that mean? I mean, how do I reconcile those two statements? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Karbana and Tom Tanuf, Rashi says, Vishal Nashim Manethlu Kohen Luchudei. If a woman brings a karban, so we'll say, as opposed to other karbanos, where the tenufa is done with the owner and the kohen, so obviously if a woman is bringing the karban, the kohen will do the tenufa on her behalf without her participation. We'll say this is true even according to Tosfos, who understands that their hand, obviously, if you're going with the idea that the kohen's hands are underneath the owner's hands, so of course the kohen's not going to do that with a woman. But even according to Tosfos' understanding ultimately is that the Yisrael is holding on to the side and the kohen's on the bottom. It's just, there's a choser tznius in that. And therefore, again, the woman is not going to, so again, her carbon is subject to tenufa, but the tenufa is accomplished ultimately by the kohen himself without the woman's participation in the tenufa. Tan Rabbanon, Bnei Yisrael manifin vein obek chom manifin. So we'll say the Braisa says as follows: Bnei Yisrael. So we'll say this is quoting from the pasuk. Dabra Bnei Yisrael leimar. So what do we learn from here? Bnei Yisrael manifin vein obek chom manifin. So Jews do tenufa, but an akum, even if an akum is bringing a karban, there is no tenufa obligation. Bnei Yisrael manifin vein anasha manifos. So furthermore, I will say, Bnei Yisrael often refers to men, right? But ultimately, again, women will not do tenufa. Am Rabbi Yossi, Matzinu shechalak ha-kosov bein karban l'Yisrael, the karban ovdei kochavim. So I will say, what do we see? We see that the Pasuk makes a distinction between the karban of a Jew and the karban of a Gentile. The karban nashin, and a further distinction, ultimately, to the karban of women. How so, Rabbi Yossi? Bismicha yachal nachlok b'tenufa lo. So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, do you think that we're going to go ahead? I'm sorry, I read that wrong. So, I'm Rabbi Yossi, let me read that again. Matzinu shechalak ha-kasav ben karban l'Yisrael, the karban of the Chum, the karban Hashem b'smicha. So we'll say, we see that there's a distinction, ultimately, again, when it comes to smicha. Look at Rashi just a moment. Matzinu. Disani b'taras karnim b'reisha, b'nei Yisrael v'samach, b'nei Yisrael somchin b'nei ovik chum smokin. B'nei Yisrael somchin b'nei b'nei Yisrael somchin. So also when it comes to smicha, and again we'll expand on this in just a little bit, the halacha is that only a Jew does smicha on his karban, and Akum does not do smicha when he's bringing his karban. Furthermore, only men do smicha, women don't do smicha. That, you know, that statement has many more contemporary manner ramifications. Right? So halach l'maisa, only a man does smicha ultimately again on the karban, and women do not do smicha on the karban. Yochol nachlok b'tenufa. So say, I might have thought also. I will say now what that sounds like. By the way, what the Gemara says that is, a Jew has an obligation of smicha, but even within the Jewish population, only men have an obligation of smicha. Women don't have an obligation of smicha. Now, Bosin, I watch this. Yochel nachlok b'tenufa. I might have thought that maybe the same distinction applies by tenufa. In other words, maybe there is no obligation by women for tenufa at all. In other words, we'll say there is no obligation for women by smicha. Maybe there's no obligation for women by tenufa as well. To which the Gemara says, Yochel nachlok b'tenufa. Lo malich chalak b'smicha, shas smicha b'baylin. Nachlok b'tenufa, shat tenufa b'kohanim. No, not necessarily, because what I was saying, tenufa is really a din in the kohanim. Happens to be that the owner participates in it, but it's really a din in the kohanim. Masha'en kein smicha, ultimately, again, is a din of the owner. I was saying, the reason we learn out that ultimately, again, women don't have a smicha obligation is because the Torah uses lashon of b'nei Yisrael. So because the Torah goes out of its way to use lashon of b'nei Yisrael as opposed to dabar el Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael teaches me that only men have an obligation of smicha, women do not have an obligation of smicha. I might have thought if they don't have an obligation of smicha, maybe they have no obligation of tenufa. Tushman says, not really, because smicha is a din in the owner, tenufa is really a din in the kohen. Emke matam lor b'nei Yisrael. So ultimately, I said, why does the pasuk use lashon of b'nei Yisrael by tenufa? B'nei Yisrael manifin, ve'ena ovdei kochavim manifin. To teach me what Rabbi said, to teach me that Jews have an obligation of tenufa, but if a Gentile brings a carbon, there is an obligation of tenufa. B'nei Yisrael manifin, ve'en hanoshim manifos. Ultimately, again, only men do tenufa. Women do not have an obligation of tenufa. Tanya idach, Rabbi said, so let's see another bright, so this will conclude. Tanya idach, B'nei Yisrael, eini ela B'nei Yisrael. I only know, ultimately, again, B'nei Yisrael, now here's what's interesting. B'nei Yisrael, that's a term often used for what we'll call, you know, Jewish from birth individuals, Gerim, Avodim Mishuchrarin Minayin. How do I well say that it applies to all Jews, right? Converts, Avodim Mishuchrarin, emancipated slaves who become Jewish as well, Minayin, Tamud Lomar, Hamakriv. Therefore, we'll say the Pasuk says Hamakriv, O Eino Elazah Kohen Hamakriv. Or maybe it refers ultimately to the Kohen who's ultimately bringing the carbon. Kishu Omer Yadav Tivi Ena, Hare Bailim Omer. So also when the Pasuk says Yadav Tivi Ena, that refers to the owner. So Hakeitz, Rabbah says, so once again, how do I reconcile both the obligation for the owner as well as the Kohen? Hakeitz, Rabbah says, here we go again. Hakeitz, Kohen Maniach Yadav Tachas Yad Bailim Umeinim. We'll say what happens, halacha l'maisa, the coin places his hands underneath the hands of the owner, and ultimately, again, they do tenufa. So we'll say, so what comes out over here is as follows. What comes out is that halacha l'maisa, the process of tenufa is a joint process between the coin and the owner. How that is done ultimately, since the machlokis rashi tosis, either actually hands on top of hands, or Yisrael's hands on the side, coin's hands on the bottom. Furthermore, again, tenufa is never done by an akum. Smicha is never done by an akum. When it comes to smicha, ultimately, again, the carbon of a woman is exempt from smicha. When it comes to tenufa, her carbon is subject to tenufa. Just that's what Rabbi Osai. She does not participate in that tenufa. Instead, the Kohen does the tenufa on her behalf. Right, so we'll stop over here and we'll continue with this tomorrow. Because smicha is a din violent. There's no, that's not an obligation in Kohanim. Could Saeed send out a post to the...